The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
This week's question was partial sight or total blindness. How do our experiences differ? Well, joining us now to discuss this is Julie Woods, who is in New Zealand, and Kerry Doyle, who is originally from Ireland but is now living in Stockport. Hello.
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 So we're talking today about the issue of blindness and partial sight and the differences between both. Now, Julie, you're in a rather interesting position here because you have been fully sighted, then partially sighted, then completely blind. And I remember a while back we spoke about this, and I remember reading a 7-word story about you and your view on that whole experience. And your 7-word story was sighted, partially sighted, blind, happy, sad, happy. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I know it sounds a bit odd, but I guess really when I was partially sighted from the age of 18 to 31, I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. I didn't belong in the sighted world and I didn't belong in the blind world. So as a consequence, I didn't receive any services. I didn't get to hang out with people that were just like me because I didn't know where to find them. So it wasn't until I went blind at the age of 31 that I moved away from the sighted world towards the blind world. And there was a group of people that were suddenly like me, people that couldn't see. And I found that very liberating. And behind that community of people too was also support services that enabled me to, you know, be the best blind person I could be.
Okay. In your case, Kerry, you are blind and you have been since birth. So going by what you've heard from Julie, that the suggestion is that you must be happy being blind. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds really odd, doesn't it? Yeah, you know what though? Yes, absolutely, I am, to be fair. And that's how, you know, I commented on the Facebook and said, you know, I'd rather be blind than partially sighted. And I don't mean that in any, you know, offensive or disrespectful way whatsoever. But I think it's just, say, it's kind of handy to just be able to say, oh yeah, no, I can't see, that's it now, you know, and there's no sort of like, can you see this out? Can you see that? Or maybe you see that at night or in the day or something, you know, and there's no kind of ambiguity there. Like, I'm just blind and I'm just blind, you know. So, yes, I think I'm much happier being blind than either if I'd lost it or being partially sighted, absolutely.
I mean, Julie, in your case, you know, being partially sighted, if I can take you back to that time, what was it about being partially sighted that, in your words, made you sad?
Well, Kerry's touched on it, actually. It's around people not understanding what partial sight is all about. It's very hard to describe to someone that you can see something, you know, close up but not far away, and you can kind of see around the outside, but your central vision's not very good. So it's very difficult to explain that, and I just found it easier to go underground, basically, because I met such opposition around what it was. You know, why couldn't I get glasses? That was a common thing I kept on getting. It's like, I'd rather actually end up not talking about it. And I guess that did drive me underground. And once I became blind, of course, I could no longer hide it. So it was that level of understanding, as Kerry talked about, people get total blindness and they get total sightedness, but they don't get much in between.
So is that a problem? Well, it clearly is a problem that people face. I mean, I know this myself because I'm partially sighted, and I do come to this question with lots of questions of my own, because, you know, it's interesting to me. I've often wondered whether or not it would be easier just to have no sight, but I often think that's quite a horrible view as well, because you don't want to think in those terms, do you?
But that's not horrible to me, or possibly to Kerry. It's because when you release that, when you let go of what you can't see very well, you're then able to embrace your other senses. And for me, that's where I think I found my success, not in the fact that I can't see anymore, but the fact that I can smell, hear, taste and touch. And that that's the way I now interpret my world. And I just have moved into another way of doing things in different ways and receiving information through those other senses. So almost letting go that of the sight has enabled me to tap into another way of existing.
I just want to pick up on that point you both make around attitudes. Do you find, Kerry, that people don't ask you a lot about your sight because it's clear to other people, or you make it clear to other people, you just can't see anything?
Yeah, I mean, I guess people don't want to ask because they're afraid to ask the wrong stuff. They're afraid of asking the questions in the wrong way. I've even had it where people, and I'm sure Julie's experienced it, people won't even use the words, you know, did you see such and such on the television last night? Did you watch this on the TV? And I'm like, sure, I watch television. What are you talking about? You know, like, I mean, I like Friends as much as the next person, kind of thing. And so people are scared. And I find as well a lot, people won't say when I've been in the workplace and stuff before, people won't approach you to even have a conversation and say, hi, morning, how are you? Because they don't know what to say. So it's like, oh, well, I don't know what to say to you, so I just won't say anything at all.
Yes, I've kind of countered that because I'm a speaker and I go out and tell my story. So I teach all my audiences how to meet and greet a blind person. So it's hello, Julie, it's Stephen from RNIB Radio or whatever. So it's kind of encouraging that interaction because my mother says it's very easy to walk past you know. I mean, that's what Kerry's talking about. Yeah, because it's very easy for people to pass us by and kind of slip on. And yeah, you do find often that there's an uncomfortableness around blindness, and that's why I do encourage people to come up and say hello, use my name, tell me who they are, so that they feel they're on the front foot a bit more than if they didn't have any skills or confidence to actually come up and say hello. So, I mean, you're constantly educating people about how to interact with a blind person. So, you know, you're always on duty.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it difficult, though, because, you know, we live in a world where we've got so many different experiences of sight loss, and that's often where people's attitudes get confused, and, you know, you both point that out. You know, people don't fully understand about partial sight, but they do get total blindness. It's just, that's it, you can see nothing, we get that. But there are a lot of people out there who are going blind, who are losing their sight, who probably listen to you two and think, it can't be that good. I mean, you know, come on, this is horrific. You know, this is a horrific thing. And you two are
We're getting the commission on these new members. I mean, yeah, come on to the other side. It's not. Yeah. I met a woman the other day. She came and heard me read a book in Braille, a challenge that I was doing at the libraries. And she's approaching 70 and she's going blind. And I said to her, you know, the worst moment for me was when I knew what was happening in my left eye was about to happen in my right. And that's the hard part. So being blind is a lot easier than going blind.
Interesting distinction. And obviously, Kerry, you in a sense don't have that experience because you've always been blind.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I've always been this way. So it's funny because I've been around a group of people before and we were having like a discussion about just being blind and going blind and all that. And it was really, really difficult actually for me to be in that discussion because so many of the people were like really kind of angry and sad and, you know, being blind is like the worst thing ever. And I'm like, oh, come on, lads, it's not that bad, you know, it's fine, you know, like, and it made me really uncomfortable. I was like, I can't listen to this. It makes me so sad because it's like, it's just not the, we are so fortunate in so many ways, you know, we can hear to talk to you, we can listen to music, we can still watch TV like everyone else does, maybe just a wee bit different, you know, so we can do most things just a little differently. And it makes me sad when people are, you know, really sad about being blind, because there are so many worse things to be.
Is that what makes this awkward as a discussion generally? I mean, even within our own community, as we call the blind and partially sighted world as a community together, does it make it more awkward because everybody has so many different experiences? Everyone's at different stages. Some people like myself are on a path to, well, the same as yesterday, because in theory my eye condition shouldn't change. So what I've been given isn't great. It's about 30% useful vision. So that's what I've got. But you guys were given, in your case, Kerry, nothing. And then, you know, Julie, over a period of time, you lost all of it. You know, we're all at such different points. Is it hard, therefore, to come together as a community on that basis? Because, you know, when you listen to you, Kerry, we think there might be people who might think, well, hang on a minute, you know, that's not a fair representation of being blind or going blind.
I mean, I don't know what to say to that. I don't know. I just kind of think, to me, and I don't know what Julie feels, it's an inconvenience. Can I say inconvenience with a capital I at times? You know, it really is. But it is not. I think I could be so many worse things. I count myself lucky that it's only a sensory disability that I have, and that it's only my vision that I've not got. So, and also, you know, I've got my dog, so I think that's kind of one of the privileges of not being able to see, is that I get to work with him all the time, and I've got to, you know, help so many people do different things with technology and all this kind of stuff. So I've done a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have done if I wasn't me. So I don't find it a massive thing. And I just really quickly as well, I do kind of think we are, all of us are kind of society's test, because people don't know how to react to us, as Julie has kind of touched on. So I think we are society's test. Every time we go outside our houses and we interact with people, we help them to understand that it isn't such a bad thing and how to interact with us, etc.
So it's important to promote that, then.
I wouldn't say I actively do it. I in the same way that Julie doesn't. Julie's just herself, I'm just myself. So but I think it's important to be positive as much as we can, yeah.
Mm. I mean, Julie, from your perspective, you seem a very happy person, and I wouldn't ever want to take that away from you, but, you know, you seem such a positive person about things. But there must be days, I imagine, where, you know, you will remember the days you could see something, you might be trying to do something, and it frustrates you. Does that still happen to you, or have you just written that off?
I think I've written that off, because that's a loser's approach to I want to focus on what I can do. So if I'm going to focus on what I can't do the whole time, what kind of existence is that going to be? I don't find that's going to be very helpful. So I do try, and I mean, yeah, sure, sometimes I get frustrated. I get most frustrated with people's attitudes when they think that we can't do stuff, and the only thing we can't do is see. You know, people think that we can't boil an egg or bake a cake or, you know, use a computer, use a telephone, use a cell phone. There are so many things that sighted people don't think that blind people can do. And to me, that's just about getting out there and doing that stuff and educating them. But, you know, that's a big job.
Mm. Well, I appreciate your time. I thank you for your honesty as well. And, you know, I thank you for your positivity.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, total blindness or partial sight? What are the differences in how you feel, how you're treated, and how you approach the world? Well, we heard from lots of you on social media about this one. Thanks to Sarah Smith, Deborah Williams, Everald Heim Purdy, Wendy Hoddy Otten Millard, and Judy Smith for getting in touch with us. Maria Hayes Johnson says, I feel like I'm always judging what I can or cannot see, or trying to explain to others what I can and cannot see. So much of the time, I try to use the vision I have left, thinking that it's good enough. I had another friend of mine say, who is partially sighted, I see more than you think I do, and I see less than I think I do. Sounds about right. Digna Namela says, there isn't a better deal. Society understands the concept of total blindness more if you're blind and can't see things. Simple. If you see visually impaired or partially sighted people, people get confused. But you don't look like you've got anything wrong with you, is often the classic line. Can't you just wear glasses? Can you hold that any closer to your face? That kind of thing. There are times where blind people have it easier, but partial sight is more useful. John Nixie disagrees, though, on Facebook. He says, I think partial sight is worse than no sight. Partial sight can give you the wrong picture, which can be dangerous. Well, if you'd like to join one of our discussions or comment on this story and tell us your own experiences, please do get in touch. You can send us an email to theweeklyconnect@rnib.org.uk, or if you're on Twitter, find us at RNIB Radio and use the hashtag TheWeeklyConnect.
The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.